Let us pray. Holy Spirit, come upon us now in this moment and lift us up through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Imagine with me a courtroom from nearly 4,000 years ago. On a raised platform, a Babylonian judge runs his fingers over a wedge-shaped groove pattern in a clay tablet. His long hair spills past his shoulders. His hair spills past shoulders that intermingles then with two polished leather bands that hold together multiple braids of his black beard. The judge's dark eyes consider the two men before him. The accuser can't stop talking. He hisses his sibilance. He gestures wildly. He lays out a claim that his neighbor has cast spells on his crops. The judge raises a hand. His beard sways as he leans forward. Has anyone witnessed your neighbor's alleged sorcery? The accuser shakes his head. No, but 3 bad years of yield in a row is proof enough. Can't be a coincidence. The judge looks down at his clay tablet. Hear then the law of Hammurabi, emperor of all Babylon. Shuma awilum. If a man charges another man with practicing witchcraft, but cannot bring proof against him, he who is charged with witchcraft shall go through the divine river ordeal. If the divine river ordeal should overwhelm him, his accuser shall take full legal possession of his estate. If the divine river ordeal should clear that man and he should survive, he who made the charge of witchcraft against him shall be killed. He who submitted to this divine river ordeal shall take full legal possession of his accuser's estate. And upon finishing, the judge stands. His crown catches the light. To the water trial, he cries. He leads the court to the banks of the Euphrates River. The defendant's Adam's apple toggles up and down in a bit of a gulp. And the judge turns to the waters. O divine judge Ea! O God of primeval ocean and river, tell us if this man is innocent. Pull him beneath the waves if he is guilty, but if he is righteous, let him pass through your domain alive. And at the judge's signal, 6 soldiers heave the accused into the chaos depths, into death itself. Judge Ea, give your verdict, they cry. And with a splash, the trial is on. The accuser grins. The people on the shore lean forward to see what might be the outcome. And at first, the defendant sinks below the waves, but then he surges back to the surface, thrashing, coughing, and kicking. And within a few minutes, he is sitting on the far bank, shivering and dripping wet. He is innocent, the judge intones. Bring forth the accuser. The 6 soldiers seize the accuser and press his head beneath the water until his struggling ceases. The trial is over. The verdict is in. Sisters and brothers, a few moments ago, we followed the Easter vigil tradition of renewing our baptismal vows. Now, as North American Christians, we tend to imagine baptism in sentimental terms. Parents smiling for pictures with their newly christened babe, a young man grinning as the water slides down his forehead, cake and coffee afterwards. And these images are good and true and holy. Baptism is a moment of joy, a moment even of tender celebration. But the truth is that we often don't understand why it's a moment of tender celebration. We don't recognize that holy baptism follows the pattern and the reality of an ancient Near Eastern trial by ordeal. And we are on trial. You see, God created man good. We read Genesis 1 this evening. But of course, after Genesis 1 and then 2 comes Genesis 3. Humanity rebelled. And now there is evil in this world. There is chaos and sin. There is hatred of love and love self-giving. And this mad horror infects the secret places of the human interior. In the prophet Jeremiah's words, the human heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? And so this insanity of sickness infects each one of us. Sin infects your hearts, and sin infects my heart. It infects the very core of who we are. And so we are on trial. We stand in the divine courtyard as the witches and the warlocks who scheme and spell against God and neighbor. And one of our neighbor's spirits knows witchcraft when he sees it. It takes one to know one. The accuser, this Satan, this Satan, this Diabolos, this devil, hisses his sibilance and gestures wildly. They work their magic against all that is good, true, and beautiful. And God, the judge, love himself, stands. His crown catches the light. To the water trial, he cries. To the water trial. And our Adam's apple toggles into a bit of a gulp as we stand beside the dark face of the deep. The Red Sea's fierce currents splash, Noah's flood, waters pool and shudder. In love's judgment, we know we will sink like a stone. Even if we can swim, our sins will drag us into the deep. We will drown in Sheol's depths because of our own wickedness. None of us, as St. Paul says, are innocent. No, not one. So the soldiers heave us into the swirling, surging waters, the judgment waters. And we land on muddy ground. Not in water, but muddy ground. On either side of us, the floodwaters rise, parted. And before us stands the innocent man, the true Moses, leading his people through the Red Sea, love himself. It is the judge of the living and the dead. I was dead, but now I am alive again forevermore. He wears his splintered crown of conquest. His bare feet leave bloody footprints on the sea floor. And he lifts his staff. Follow me from death to life. And so down we go to the roots of the mountains, where seaweed lies in heaps and fish flop in the puddles. Into death's chaos realm we descend with the innocent man, with this loving God. And when we are through, on the other side of the font, shivering and dripping wet, everyone in the church smiles and cheers. Christ is innocent. They are innocent, the divine judge intones. Christ is righteous. They are righteous. Bring forward the accuser. And the six angelic soldiers seize the Satan and press his head beneath the baptism's waves until his struggling ceases. The trial is over, and the verdict is in. You see, in holy baptism, the triune God judges us as innocent, even righteous. In baptism, the Holy Spirit buries us with Jesus and raises us up with him to new life. And as the Spirit blows over the depths, Jesus leads us through his own trial, his own crucifixion, death, down into the tomb of the waters. And in his innocence, he brings us up through the judgment waters in resurrection. In his innocence, he makes us innocent. And so baptism, the ancient trial by ordeal, calls each one of us to trust in Jesus and in Jesus alone. Hold on to Jesus, your innocent man. For Christ's trial and verdict is your trial and verdict. You stood with him before Pontius Pilate. You were crucified with him. You went down into the watery grave. And you on Easter morning came out alive forevermore. So rest all of your hopes in Jesus. Don't imagine that on Judgment Day you can swim through death's depths without Jesus. Don't plan on fording the Red Sea or surviving Noah's flood without Jesus. Your sins and your secret sorceries will drag you to the roots of the mountains to gurgle away your life with the devil and his angels. There is only one who has gone down into the waters and come back out alive, resurrected. And that is Jesus Christ. So trust in Jesus and remember your baptism. You've already gone through Judgment Day in Jesus. God has already brought you through judgment's waves. Your judgment has passed in Jesus. And so on the final day, when the trumpet sounds and the judge himself descends, you will rise to everlasting life. Because of the innocent man, Jesus. And he is your good news. He is your gospel. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.